And hello and welcome back to Talk of the Bay here for September 30th. Really appreciate you tuning in today to 90.7 FM, KSQD, and online at ksqd.org. And in the second half of the show, I'm joined by Megan Grenier, who over the last 28 years has worked in a variety of educational settings as an elementary classroom teacher and education specialist for a charter school. She's been a mentor teacher, a private tutor, and a director of a learning lab to help struggling readers using the Orton-Gillingham approach. Her passion is to help students learn to read proficiently. I should learn to read proficiently myself. We'll be discussing the importance of literacy to individuals and society. Two recent California Senate bills passed last year requiring schools in California to screen all kindergarten through second grade students for reading difficulties, including dyslexia, this school year, as well as two upcoming dyslexia simulations she and other educators are hosting to raise awareness about the frustrations and struggles that individuals with dyslexia experience on a daily basis in the classroom. And I'm very happy to be joined by Megan Grenier. Hopefully I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Yes, you are.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you, George.
Yeah, of course. I'm so glad you could do this. I know that you were hoping you'd have a couple other folks on with you. So I appreciate that you just, as you said, put on your big girl panties and came on the show. I think so. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit about October being Dyslexia Awareness Month and why you've organized these simulations coming up. And you could maybe throw out the dates and the locations and what people can expect if they attend.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for hosting me. And as you said, I wish that I had had a couple colleagues with me because I'm shy, but I'm doing this.
You're doing great so far.
I'm doing this to help all of the struggling readers out there. I'm having courage.
Yeah. And we can always take some phone calls in a little bit.
Okay. So as you mentioned, October is Dyslexia Awareness Month, which is why we have organized local dyslexia and reading intervention specialists to provide these hands-on learning experiences. The first simulation is scheduled for this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. at the Scotts Valley Library. And the second one is on Saturday, October 11th at the Live Oak Annex at 12 p.m. And a lot of people don't know where the Live Oak Annex is, but it's right next to the Simpkins Swim Center.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah,
that's pretty easy to find. I know where the Simpkins Swim Center is. I go hiking behind it all the time in Swan Lake.
Yeah, you've got to pop in there. They've got books that you can check out, study rooms.
I had no clue. Thank you for informing us about that. So, again, the first simulation is scheduled for this Thursday at 6:30 at the Scotts Valley Library, and the second one is on Saturday, October 11th at the Live Oak Annex, which, as Megan mentioned, is next to the Simpkins Swim Center. So, seeing here that you encourage pre-registration, do you expect it to be really well attended? Is that why, or are you just trying to get a handle on how many people to expect?
It helps us to have a handle on how many people to expect because we have a lot of materials that we need to prepare, and we are trying to simulate what it feels like to be in a busy classroom. So the more people we have, the better the simulation is.
Because of the distractions that folks experience with a lot of talking and noise in the background.
Exactly.
Kind of okay. So what can people expect if they attend the dyslexia simulations?
That's a great question. So first of all, when we were talking earlier, I really loved how you kind of put this in perspective and said that, you know, there's just so many distressing things that are happening around the world right now. And, you know, why should we care about dyslexia and reading? Mm-hmm. And you so poignantly pointed out that it's so important now more than ever to have this opportunity to walk in someone else's shoes and to experience the world from somebody else's perspective, which is what the dyslexia simulation is all about. So participants will rotate around to six hands-on stations, and they will perform language-related tasks. And it's all designed to increase awareness of the difficulties and frustrations that people with dyslexia encounter in the classroom on a daily basis. And then we leave time afterwards to sort of have a debrief because we've done these in the past and it brings up a lot of emotion for people, either because they have a child that's dyslexic and they feel like they were too hard on their child, or parents that were dyslexic themselves and were never diagnosed. So it's important to have that time to debrief. And also, there's also a lot of frustration, especially from classroom teachers that come, because a lot of them feel like they don't have the proper tools in the classroom to either identify their students or have the proper materials. So it's a great springboard for conversation on what can be done better in the classroom setting to identify our struggling readers.
So it can be a resource for educators as well to come and learn about how to identify kids with learning disabilities, or including dyslexia, and ways to address it in the classroom setting.
That's right. And So we had a simulation in January, and we had one parent that came, and she was so moved by the experience that she actually started a dyslexia support group. Mm. And she has quarterly meetings at the Capitola Library. The next one, I believe, is on November 19th. I'll have to confirm that with you. Mm-hmm. But she has a neuropsychologist that's going to come and talk about assessments.
Okay. I'll pull that up so we can make sure we announce it. So what is dyslexia?
Okay.
And some people may not know. I mean, I have an idea that I think it's when people who have dyslexia will be looking at a sentence and see the words kind of mixed up or jumbled in some way or backwards. Is that accurate?
You know, not really, actually. Okay. So it is a language-based learning disability. And it results in a difficulty with word recognition, spelling, and reading abilities. And then, of course, you know, if it's difficult for you to read, then there's secondary problems, which include trouble with reading comprehension, reduced reading experience, because, of course, if you can't read, you're not going to choose to read. And that, of course, can impede the growth of vocabulary and background knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, and according to the U.S. Department of Education statistics in 2018, they estimated that about 2 million children are receiving special education services for dyslexia.
2 million in the United States?
And they think that that's grossly underestimated because schools are not mandated.
It gets overlooked.
And schools are not mandated to report it. And dyslexia does run in families, and it has a genetic marker.
So what is dyslexia not? We've talked about what it is. What is it not?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up because people actually say that there's the gift of dyslexia because it's not a lack of intelligence. It's not a lack of desire to learn. It occurs in people of all backgrounds and all intellectual levels, and individuals with dyslexia are often really gifted in other areas and possess exceptional problem-solving skills, creative thinking, and ability to see the bigger picture. And there's a lot of famous dyslexic people like Albert Einstein, Charles Schwab. Mm. Our governor, Gavin Newsom, is famously dyslexic, and he actually wrote a children's book about dyslexia.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I pulled up the information about the dyslexia support group, and that meets, they just had a meeting on last month, August 27th, but there's one coming up November 19th, 6 p.m., February 25th at 6 p.m., and May 6th at 6 p.m., and they meet at the Capitola Branch Library. It says here it's a welcoming and informative support group dedicated to parents and educators of children with dyslexia, a safe space to share experiences, learn strategies, and connect with others who understand the unique challenges and strengths of dyslexic learners. Again, November 19th, February 25th, and May 6th at 6 p.m. at the Capitola Branch Library. Where can people find this information? Is there a centralized location? Is it through the Santa Cruz Public Library's website if they want to go and find out about this dyslexia support group and the upcoming simulations?
Yes, I would encourage them to go to the library website, and you can put in the search bar dyslexia, and then these three events will pop up.
Okay. And then the three dyslexia simulations, which again are a hands-on experience designed to increase awareness of the difficulties and frustrations that people with dyslexia encounter daily, and where participants will rotate among six learning stations that simulate language-related tasks similar to those encountered in a classroom, and facilitators will also discuss the common signs of dyslexia in childhood, are taking place October 2nd, 6:30 at the Scotts Valley Library, and October 11th, at 12 p.m. off the Live Oak Annex, which is next to the Simpkins Swim Center. And again, October is Dyslexia Awareness Month. So, Megan, what drew you to be so involved in, I mean, you're an educator, we've already talked about that, and you have a passion for helping folks with literacy and reading, but why dyslexia? Because there's more than one learning disability. What was it that drew you to this particularly? Do you have dyslexia, or do you know somebody in your immediate circle that does?
Yeah, you know, I do not have dyslexia. I learned to read really easily. I actually never really thought about how I learned to read until I was hired to tutor students with reading disabilities. And when I went through the training, I had no idea that there was short vowels, long vowels, vowel teams, digraphs. I mean, it was eye-opening for me, and it made me realize when I was learning a second language that I didn't really have a strong foundation on the English language code, and I think it made learning a second language more difficult. Mm. I do have friends that have dyslexia. I just think that it's a human right, and it's a social justice issue, because I see so many kids that are falling through the cracks in our school system, and it's always been a passion, and I'm just grateful now that I have more time to continue my education to learn and to hold these simulations.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, 20% of the population have some symptoms of dyslexia, and you're saying it could actually be far higher than that?
No, I don't think it's far higher than that, but I do think like the statistics that the U.S. Department of Education estimated in 2018, when they said that there was like 2 million children,
Okay. They
think it's actually more. So no,
okay,
it's...
Okay, so the accurate number would be around 20%.
That's
okay.
Correct.
So, you know, if 100 people are listening right now, about 20 of them may have symptoms of dyslexia. So that is That's a pretty sizable chunk.
Yeah, it's a significant portion of our population.
So you mentioned, we were discussing this earlier, that you feel strongly that learning to read is a fundamental right and a social justice issue. Can you address that? What you mean by that?
Sure. So right now, according to the National Literacy Institute, about 54% of adults have a literacy below the sixth grade level, and California has the lowest adult literacy rate of all the states.
How is that? Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's super distressing, and I think that's like a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's a podcast that called Sold a Story by Emily Hanford, and she really delves into why we have so many reading problems now. You know, there was the whole language philosophy. So, you know, our government has been picking programs that are not science-based.
Okay.
And so fortunately that is starting to change across different states.
Okay. But I wonder why California has the lowest adult literacy rate. I mean, perhaps you don't know the answer to that, but that just kind of shocks me a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it shocks me too.
So in what way do you view this as a social justice issue? I mean, I would think of something like, if you aren't reading proficiently, you're kind of, in a sense, you're a bit sidelined in our society, and you may not have the ability to really be fully educated, you know, because that's much of the way we learn is through reading. So is that what you mean when you say a social justice issue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you can't read, then you're not able to comprehend what you're able to read at a baseline level. And if you're not able to comprehend, then you're not able to analyze, and you're not able to think critically. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing in our society right now, with so much polarization and so much anger and vitriol. You know, I think that people are not taking the time to be critical thinkers and analyzers, and I do think that that has some root in our low literacy levels.
Not be fall prey to disinformation and misinformation more easily. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, I mean, this probably is obvious, but if you are struggling with literacy, you're probably going to have trouble with reaching your full potential, whether it be in educating, you know, through education or your career or, you know, even just being a part of your community. So,
yeah, that's,
you know, fully active participant.
Yeah,
that's, you can advocate for yourself and those around you.
Right. You know, and then I do want to say that some, you know, a lot of people with dyslexia, you know, they learn how to compensate and they can actually make them a very strong individual because mm-hmm. they've had to deal with so much grit and to have to overcome so many challenges. And I have a good friend who has dyslexia, and she's now in her 60s, and she still feels embarrassed about, like, mispronouncing words, you know, her lack of ability to read material quickly and her writing ability. And when she was in elementary school, she was put in the ball closet to learn with a student who had cognitive disabilities, and she barely passed high school, but then she went on to build a highly successful company. But that feeling of embarrassment is still with her today.
The stigma.
Right.
And the kind of false labeling of you is perhaps, I mean, as you mentioned, dyslexia is not due to a lack of intelligence or a desire to learn, but yet folks experiencing it may end up being, you know, stigmatized and stuck in a ball closet.
Right.
You know?
But it also can make them stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not advocating to not do early screening and
right. So tell us a little bit about the two Senate bills that were passed in 2024 and why it's important for listeners to know about those. They again require schools in California to screen all kindergarten through second grade students this year for dyslexia and other learning disabilities. Can you talk a little bit about that legislation?
Yes. So, yeah. So, you know, we're focusing on these things that are not going well, but, you know, it's great that California finally is catching up. And as you mentioned, there was two Senate bills, Senate Bill 114 and Senate Bill 691, which required schools in California to screen all kindergarten through second grade students this year. And again, I'm not working in the school system right now, but if you have any listeners that are teachers, I would love to know how this is being implemented and what intervention programs are being used to help these struggling readers. Because as we know, these Senate bills are great, but you know, what is the implementation and how are our schools staying faithful to that?
Yeah, and this is about early detection.
This is, the early screening.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And how to then intervene.
Exactly.
In the school setting.
Exactly.
To help these students reach their full potential.
Right, right. Because that's, you know, all of the science says that when students are screened and identified early and they get early intervention, they don't have such a wide gap as they go forward in their educational career. And then there is another bill that is actually the California legislature unanimously approved. And that's pretty amazing that we can all agree the legislature. And they approved Assembly Bill 1451, which authorizes new training and instructional phonics-based reading materials. And now it's just waiting for Gavin Newsom's signature.
Which, being famously dyslexic, he's likely to sign, correct?
Right. We hope so. Okay.
He's going to make a decision by October 13th?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a way that listeners can weigh in on this, or is it just past that point?
I think it's past that point. Okay. Yeah. I was getting a lot of emails saying, please write in, and now I think it's we're just waiting.
So the comment period's over. Just
correct.
Waiting for his decision.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then if educators want to interact, they can come to this dyslexia simulation, these two dyslexia simulations that are coming up on October 2nd at the Scotts Valley Library at 6:30 p.m. from 6:30 to 8:30, and again on October 11th from noon to 2 at the Live Oak Annex, which is next to the Simpkins Swim Center, and you can register on the Santa Cruz Public Library's website. Again, October is Dyslexia Awareness Month, and this simulation will be a hands-on experience designed to increase awareness of the difficulties and frustrations that people with dyslexia encounter daily. And participants will rotate among 6 learning stations that simulate language-related tasks similar to those encountered in a classroom, and facilitators, of which you will be one, correct?
That's Megan? Correct.
We'll also discuss the common signs of dyslexia in childhood, and it's an opportunity for folks who don't have or don't experience dyslexia to experience it, to walk in another in the shoes of someone who does, and also for educators to get together and talk about it, and for parents or, you know, community members generally to come and learn.
That's exactly right. It's a it's a broad audience.
Okay. And before we run out of time, I also want to mention that dyslexia support group that will be meeting November 19th, February 25th, and May 6th at 6 p.m. at the Capitola Branch Library. It's a welcoming and informative support group dedicated to parents and educators of children with dyslexia, a safe space to share experiences, learn strategies, and connect with others who understand the unique challenges and strengths of dyslexic learners. So we only have about 5 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that we've covered everything you wanted to talk about. Earlier we were talking about you were excited to read in the Santa Cruz Sentinel that the Pajaro Valley Unified School District will go before the school board for final approval to train elementary school teachers to become experts in teaching literacy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just read it this morning, but I am just thrilled because they are going to be providing teachers a $1,500 stipend every month that they're going through this training.
Nice.
So,
and that's something they could perhaps do in addition to working?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my understanding.
Good.
Yes. And so I put it out to my group of reading intervention specialists today, and everybody was just so excited that Pajaro Valley is taking this step. And I just want to read a quote that Superintendent Heather Contreras stated in the paper this morning, and it says, "The collective goal is centered on students as we work together to advance progress in student reading, which will positively impact overall learning success."
Yeah.
So tomorrow their school board is going to be voting on this.
Okay. And is that open to the public, members of the Pajaro Valley Unified School District?
You know, I don't know that. That's a good question.
Okay. Huh. Well, that was in the Santa Cruz Sentinel. That was in the Santa Cruz Sentinel this morning?
This morning.
Okay, so people can find that on the Santa Cruz Sentinel website, or if you get the physical paper, look for that article about the Pajaro Valley Unified School District going before the school board for final approval to train elementary school teachers to become experts in teaching literacy. And as Megan mentioned, if this goes through, this would be a $1,500 a month stipend to participating educators.
Right, and it looks like the annual stipend is maxed out at $50,000 per year, which means that teachers could be paid an additional $30,000 for taking part of the 2-year process.
Okay, that's very encouraging.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
So the title of that article is
Board Considers Literacy Program.
Okay, I'll take a look for it later in the Santa Cruz Sentinel from today. So, Megan, we only have a few minutes left. I want to make sure that we've covered everything that you wanted to communicate to our listeners today.
I'm just super grateful for this opportunity, George.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, because I just think, like I said, this is such an important topic, and, you know, getting it out.
With 20% of the population potentially being affected, I mean, not that it wouldn't be important if it was only 5%, but you know, as we already discussed, you know, many listeners could be experiencing, you know, issues around dyslexia.
Right.
So, yeah. And we've got October is right around the corner here.
Right, tomorrow.
So, yeah. So that's Dyslexia Awareness Month. And again, just before we wrap up the show, I want to remind listeners about the dyslexia simulations coming up October 7th and October 11th. You can register on the Santa Cruz Public Library's website. As Megan mentioned, you just type dyslexia into the search bar when you go to the website, and you'll come up with these events that are taking place for Dyslexia Awareness Month in October. And you can also find information about the dyslexia support group that takes place at the Capitola Branch Library there as well on the library's website. So I see you have a book sitting there, Overcoming Dyslexia. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I guess this book was my Bible when I was getting my certification. It's by Sally Shaywitz, and she's the co-director of the Yale Center for the Study of Learning and Attention. And so I have it all. This is the first edition, and then she just came out with a new edition, so I felt like I needed to bring the second edition, so I've got my two Bibles.
Overcoming Dyslexia. Yes. And how do you spell her last name?
Shaywitz.
Might be interesting.
Shaywitz. MD.
A book you could perhaps get from the Santa Cruz Public Library.
That's exactly right.
Overcoming Dyslexia.
Yes.
Thank you so very much for joining me today on the show, Megan Grenier.
Thank you very much.
To tell us about October Dyslexia Awareness Month and the opportunities coming up through the Santa Cruz Public Library. Again, listeners can go to their website and search in the search bar for dyslexia, and you'll come up with the support group, the upcoming dyslexia simulations in October. Thank you again, Megan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And it is time now to wrap up Talk of the Bay. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, George Cadman. This is 90.7 KSQD and online at ksqd.org. Thank you so much to our listeners and our donors.
This is Dan Hafley for the KSQD Ocean Report. There's a beach north of Aninuevo that's become a favorite place for my wife and I to walk. There you can observe nature to the sound of water slapping the sand. It has rocky patches where you can stroll at low tide and watch pelicans and cormorants glide along the ocean's surface. One day there was a line of harbor seals who were leaping in graceful arcs as they swam north. Fragments of bull kelp and piles of different seaweeds were nestled among the rocks until a tide strong enough washed them back out to sea. These are waters of Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, rich in life. Their 6,094 square miles host 36 species of marine mammals, 180 plus species of birds, 525 species of fish, and an abundance of invertebrates, plant life, plankton, and algae. Back to our beach. As we do everywhere we go, we abide by the old Sierra Club motto, take only pictures and leave only footprints. For the KSQD Ocean Report, this is Dan Hafley.
KSQD thanks the Carmel International Film Festival for their support. The Carmel International Film Festival will screen global and local films October 2nd through the 5th at Golden Bough Playhouse Founders Theater in Carmel. More information, including films, times, and tickets, is available at the festival's website, CIFFEST.com. That's CIFFEST.com. Thank you, Carmel International Film Festival, for supporting community radio, K-Squid. KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Natural Bridges Media or KSQD's staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
I'm the computer man. I'm the Macintosh man with the virus scan. Moving your files all across the land. Some Photoshop filters in After Dark. Get your Microsoft Office Express, your Quark. Millions of colors with a VRAM chip. How about a system crash that'll make you flip? I'm the computer man. I'm saying Windows 95 is plug and pray. If it's Fox you want, you gotta go to MacWay. Log right on as my personal guest. You'll have Macintosh software on your desk. Send me an email with your request. If it's hard-